Everyone's asleep.
Show that's all about genocide and scumbaggery, revealing the lighter side of genocide. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's freaking gorgeous. Not only is it fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated. And everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to help the economy. My very special guests, with a plural for a reason, are Kent Bain and Chris Milliken, the co-authors and co-intel, not co-intel pro. I think they're a bit amateur. No, I was just joking. They've written this book called The Most Dangerous Book in the World. Say that again. We are going to be interviewing the authors today of The Most Dangerous Book in the World. So, if that starts to make you freak out just a little bit, it probably should. Because it's very, 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 very important to understand that there are two worlds, the physical and the metaphysical. Some people have gone completely insane and they don't know the difference. Namely the elite, and they conduct real messed up rituals based on ancient dark occult mysticism in order to channel humanity like a river to flow in the areas that they would wish them to flood. In other words, trying to leech all the money out of the economy, try to make everybody afraid to stop them from thinking, and try to coerce their conformity by gradually taking away their rights and freedoms and keeping it all secret in a compartmentalized fashion so that people have no idea the hand that truly is holding the gun pointed at their economy and their country and their spirit. So, Kent Bain and Chris Milliken, welcome to the show. Kent?
Yes. Good to be with you.
And Chris?
And thank you very much for having us on. Appreciate it.
Well, I've already spoken to Kent so far this morning, but we're unable to get a hold of you, Chris. So, Kent, your background, and you told me about your father and how he was a very onto it Christian minister who also taught a whole number of other topics, including philosophy and ethics. And right. we talked about how there's sort of a bloodline reason for why a lot of us become the people that we are. And I think that goes for the Illuminati as well as it goes for people of this vein who
right.
more or less born into an environment that naturally starts resisting the Illuminati simply by its mere existence, like a truther bloodline.
Right.
And I wanted to get also your background story as well, Chris, about what did your parents do for a living?
Oh, well, my father was in the intelligence services. He got involved as an exchange student to China in the 1930s. And then during the war, he was in COI and OSS, got involved in deep politics in 1943, was in OSS and both in G2, was sent to the Philippines, ended up going after the war into a couple alphas at State Department. Then when was in CIA, his last overt job at CIA was branch chief, head of all of East Asia Analysis Office. And then he went covert. I went with him as a youngster to Indonesia in the early 50s when Sukarno was there.
Did you by chance attend a madrasa with Barack H. O'Barry?
No. This was quite a bit before then. This was like 1950-51. And then my dad, I was still a little kid, he went back in 56 to East Asia. And then things changed, I could tell. And then in 59, he left the agency completely and moved the whole family out to Oregon. And then in 1969... he started talking to me. He told me that there was a, he said he'd signed a thing that only said he couldn't talk for 10 years. And he said the Vietnam War is about drugs. There's these secret societies behind it and stuff like that. And talked to me about psychological warfare and sway pieces. But I was, 19, almost 20, and I really didn't understand what he was talking about until he told me about his some of his intelligence career, because he'd never talked about it before. And because of that, I started doing research in the subject I called CIA drugs, and ran an email list and had somebody on there that had a book that had been with an agent in New York for many years, and he was decrying that nobody would publish it. And I finally said, well, I've got a computer on my desk. They tell me I can make a book. And then another friend, because my dad mentioned secret societies, I started researching those, and I became friends with Anthony Sutton. And his book was going out of print, and I says, Anthony, your book can't go out of print. And so I borrowed $5,000 and started a publishing company.
So, knowing where you come from, the both of you, it must come as no surprise as to where you've ended up. And the reason I've prefaced this conversation in this way is because not only are we going to travel back in our own lives, but we have to now transport ourselves back over a decade to 9/11, 2001. It seems a different world and a different time, because we now live in a post 9/11 world. And would like to go into this conversation with Kent as well, and lead on to just, can you outline what you think 9/11 really is and really represents for us from your point of view?
Yes, of course, there were a range of practical objectives that the orchestrators of 9/11 had, from taking the United States to war in Iraq and Afghanistan, to initiating and then building over the course of the last 10 years a domestic police state and stripping us of many of our civil liberties. But as part of that, and then also kind of on a separate track, there was a massive psychological warfare component designed to help fulfill a range of objectives. Some of them were fairly straightforward, and then some are, occult or geared towards nefarious purposes. in themselves, and you know, depending on your belief in the existence of evil and the whether or not black magic is in fact a tool for tapping into the dark forces and dark energies of the universe, you'll assign various meaning to what they tried to do, and have you might have a different opinion about it, but there was certainly a black magic ritual that was part of the overall 9/11 attack, and it's not uncommon for the psychological warfare programmers to integrate black magic symbolism into their different activities, but this was by far the largest scale application that the world had ever seen of this type of thing. And so it's
step back a second here.
Sure.
What's black magic?
Well, it is you could say it just is as opposed to white magic, which is the use of metaphysical energies to fulfill various purposes. And the occult is I used it primarily in the book to refer to the dark arts and to black magic, and use the term somewhat synonymously. The occult can be used, occult methods and practices can be used for both good and negative purposes. And the black magic, of course, is the use of the metaphysical to pursue oppressive or self-fulfilling objectives, as opposed to try to help humanity or to improve your world. And so there is a difference, of course, between the dark arts and then the what you call the life affirming metaphysical practices. And so that's just kind of a general description of it. But there are of course a whole range of rituals, symbols, tools, techniques, objects that are utilized in the practice of black magic.
And specifically in 9/11's case, what would those icons or sigils be?
Well, in the book, I introduce the reader to them, give them a bit of general background on the symbols and their meaning, and then talk about how they were manifest in our reality and how they were incorporated into the 9/11 mega ritual. And the Twin Towers were intended as the massive modern day representations of the Pillars of Hermes or the Twin Pillars of Freemasonry. The Pentagon is a very powerful occult symbol. It is not universally held to be a symbol of the dark arts. It has been seen also as a symbol of protection. But of course, in context of the 9/11 Luciferian mega ritual, of course, they were invoking its negative aspects. And so you have those two massive symbols.
Is it kind of like a unisex bathroom in a way? It doesn't matter whether you're using it for one purpose or the other. It works both ways.
Yeah, I mean, guns don't kill people. People with guns kill people. And so it's similarly these supernatural metaphysical properties and practices, can be used for a range of purposes, all the way from oppression and death to life-giving objectives.
Well, it means it can be used either way. So it simply means you can use it, and as long as people aren't aware that you're using it, you can still continue to use it and still draw power with it. Because if everybody has the same power and everybody recognizes the symbols, that means they've got no hold over you.
Well, that's true, and the general public's unfamiliarity with the symbols with the occult, whether good or bad, the loss of that common language that, you know, maybe the public had a bit more awareness of in times past, but our total lack of awareness of these symbols and their meaning are part of what allowed the Illuminati to perform these rituals in plain sight before our very eyes, because we don't know what we're looking at, and we don't know what meaning to assign to the various objects that we're viewing, or to the acts that are being performed with them, or through them, or on them. And so, to the average viewer, the attack on the Twin Towers were just two planes flown by terrorists striking the symbols of the America's financial might. But there was a level on which it was much more than that, and so you have to peel the onion. And of course, there were just the images of those towers being attacked and then subsequently being completely destroyed were, of course, traumatic in themselves. But then, on a deeper level, the symbols that were being invoked and the statement, the occult references that were being made, and the related deities that were being invoked, that's a level that has really not been explored before very in-depthly within the 9/11 truth community. And there are bits and pieces of this, you know, floating around on the internet, but to our knowledge, this is the first time it's been pulled together in quite this way and explained with this degree of detail, and sort of the narrative been pulled together so that people can not only be familiarized with the symbols, but understand what they meant in context of that day, and then what was being accomplished, not only from a practical perspective, but then also as part of what I refer to as the occult script for 9/11.
Well, let's talk about that occult script when we come back from the break. And I also want to hear a little bit more from Chris as well, and what he makes or about all of this. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. They shuffle around every 4 years. Doesn't mean anything. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around. I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on Election Day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Revolutionary discovery changes your DNA and restores perfect cells. Listen to Transcension every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide conspiratorial gangster computer god communism with wall-to-wall deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly leak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein control, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist, parroting puppet gangster, playboy scum on top.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We're speaking with the author and publisher of the most dangerous book in the world, and there was a part of the preface here that I wanted to read out for people from this book. Prologue, knock, knock. It was inevitable that this book would be written. There is, among conspiracy aficionados, a kind of brotherhood. I use the gender-specific term brotherhood deliberately. It is a brotherhood buried alive. But what does that mean? And I was thinking the term brotherhood. Have you noticed how so many of the truthers and authors are predominantly male? You know, the radio show hosts and things like that. There's an element of femininity there, but also one of the terms as well that comes to mind when we talk about brotherhood is the Brotherhood of Freemasonry, and they call each other brother. They swear that they won't reveal any secrets of the brotherhood for fear of being, you know, cut from ear to ear or buried up to their neck in sand at the low tide mark. You know, this kind of weird stuff. And, you know, when we're talking about this, a lot of people aren't familiar with the occult, but I pride my audience on, having listened to me for any length of time, you'll notice that I have occult researchers on a semi-regular basis because, like I said, there's two words, the two worlds, the physical and the metaphysical. They both exist simultaneously and synchronistically. And unless you understand how both of them fit together and the nexus of the like, you don't know anything. And if you're looking at something like 9/11 or any type of conspiracy, the key thing is specifically knowing what questions to ask. And if you know parameters of the physical and the metaphysical together, and you're looking at an occult ritual, a mass mind control experiment, operation, psyop, whatever you call it, if you don't know the questions to ask, you will never receive the correct answers. And if you deny and attempt to keep out of your field of vision things that maybe sound a little strange or funky that aren't in the physical realm, you're essentially kneecapping yourself in an intellectual sense of the word. So Kent Bain and Chris Milligan are my guests. Now, Chris, being a publisher of a book like this, and of course your father being who he was, what do you make of this whole situation in terms of how important do you believe it is for people to understand the occult ramifications of 9/11?
Well, I think it's very important to understand it. And it was my posit, and I think there's a lot of evidence that shows that such things as the Kennedy assassination was also, at its core, an occult mass trauma ritual. Because it's one of the modicums that are used to control us hoi polloi, us people. So I think it's very important for people to understand, because if you don't understand, how are you going to get anywhere? Just going to be running around. You know, we've been very ill-served by our news media and been very ill-served by our education system. And generally, it's not their fault. It's because both of those institutions have been attacked and taken over by people that do not wish us well.
Mm. Essentially, I believe that to be a self-evident truth. And the thing is, most people will see a public life. Okay, they'll see a prime minister or an El Presidente, and they'll see the big smile on his face, and they'll see the shaking hands and the kissing of babies, but they don't see the torture and rape of children by said people in the background. So they have a remarkably different perspective on who this person really is.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, one thing my father told me, he says, you know, the Vietnam War is about drugs, there's these secret societies. And then he said, and communism is all a sham, it's all a big game. These same secret societies are behind it all. You know, so, I mean, there have been very broad strokes in psychological warfare to separate us and to get us to fight each other and all kinds of myriad things. And again, it's not, you know, it's not about money. It's about control.
What is the ultimate goal? How much control do they really want?
Oh, they want control over the future, over, you know, your and our, my children's future. And what I see is as a pragmatic end game going on right now, the pragmatic end game going on right now is to move control to China. And basically we're dealing with a secret societal system that is based in Europe that has a partner in China, and the partner in China has a little brother or sister in Korea, and they've been using America as a cat's paw, as a tool to get the world into shape. Basically, we've been going around, excuse me, killing the Indians and getting the land, and then you have China, which just stands up and says, "Cur, American war mongrel dog." We're, you know, got 5,000 years of civilization, peace, peace, peace. And by the way, make sure you send all the remittances to us because they have all the factories.
And that's another element. David Rockefeller described the Chinese system of an awful police state with the non-ability to protest or speak out, only one party, that kind of thing. as one of the most important and fundamentally beneficial social experiments in mankind's history, and that they want to make that a model for the world. You know, forced labor camps, having your organs harvested on the way to a waiting airplane to sell those organs on the black market. You know, this kind of stuff. And I was at a protest in Auckland. Oh, must have been a month or two ago. And a Chinese lady came up to me and she said, I was just wondering what this is. And I go, well, what do you mean? It's like you have people gathered together and they've got signs and they're talking and they're chanting, and you've got people with loud hailers and a stage set up, and people are talking about politics. What is this? And I said, it's a protest. And she's like, what's that? And I said, you've never seen one of these, have you? She's like, no, I didn't even know what it was. And it was just like a remarkable perspective. And we both burst out laughing at how hilarious it was. Just seeing people speaking their mind and trying to put across a message is an alien concept. And that gave me an idea of what the future will be like under a new world order system.
Yes, and if they're able to pull off what Kent talks about in the second part of the book, I mean, it'll be very easy.
Okay. Well, so, Kent, would you wish to expand on that? In terms of the end, the end goals here, and how much control they want, the type of society they're trying to create using events like 9/11.
Well, it certainly appears that they're not satisfied with just what they've been able to accomplish through 9/11. Although it was used to strip us of any number of freedoms and to accomplish all sorts of different goals and objectives, but it appears to many observers that we are being marched rather quickly towards new territory, towards something even larger and more grotesque than what we've been confronted with in the wake of 9/11, that it's not just that they continue to use 9/11 to gain, you know, new ground and new power, but that they have larger plans for us. And the sort of the idea behind the second half of the book is that I take the what was uncovered in the first part of the book about the occult script for 9/11, and then I kind of apply that in a forward-looking fashion to look and see what might be their next target date or location for a new 9/11. And if you understand the context that we're in, where they have constructed this massive machinery of tyranny around us and upon the foundation of 9/11, and all they really need at this point is a spark to crank that machinery to life, then you get the real sense that we are just waiting on that spark, that one event, that trigger to enter a hot tyranny where we are stripped of even more freedoms, and where we're subject to even greater levels of oppression. And the so the second half of the book looks at what that might be, what that triggering event might be, and it looks at it from the perspective of with 9/11, there were practical objectives that were interwoven with the occult objectives, and the date that 9/11 occurred on was very significant. And so we take a similar look forward to 2012, and it in addition to our being in a situation where this machinery of tyranny just awaits the spark of ignition, 2012 itself is very significant from an occult perspective. Before I really delved into 9/11 research, I was doing a lot of background reading and research on the 2012 phenomenon and how it's being used, and it's been utilized very much like the Y2K event, which was, of course, a non-event, and there was a, you know, there was some real threat there, but it was mitigated, but it was blown completely out of proportion. And so in looking at what was being done with 2012, I wanted to understand, first of all, if what the background was and what the issues were. But in the process of all of that research, I began to understand that it is a very significant date. Winter solstice of this year is a very significant date on the occult calendar, and essentially is marks the end of not just the age of Aquarius, but it marks the end of the great age or the cycle of precession. And of course, there are references in various the calendars of various cultures and religious systems, the Mayans being among them, to this into the end of this grand cycle of time. But so when you stand back, what you have is a situation where you this massive framework of control has been constructed, and it's ready to go at precisely this moment in history, which, you know, you could view from the occult perspective as the single most important time in human history. You know, you've got this convergence here, and so it certainly appears that we're due for the next 9/11, not just a new 9/11, but perhaps as I allude to in the book, we've 9/11 was not just an event unto itself, but it marked a countdown to this year, an 11-year countdown from September 11, 2001 to December of this year, when they will seek to mark this most auspicious of occasions on their calendar through a mass sacrifice that will dwarf the sacrifice of 9/11.
So, have you heard of Wernher von Braun and his postulation that they would go from the Cold War to terrorism and then to a false alien invasion?
I have heard of that, and you know, of course, there were a number of conspiracy writers and authors that thought that perhaps the London Olympics would be the venue for the, you know, the I guess the public unveiling of Project Bluebeam, and of course that didn't happen. And
instead it was a public unveiling of 13 giant all-seeing eye pyramid light towers with a cult rituals of all descriptions, like frickin' straight out of the Lord of the Rings, with some rising phoenix and some worshipping dark monkey dancing, you know, like in some kind of Chinese kung fu film. It was like, what the hell, bro? What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, it was an occult extravaganza. I have a short chapter in the second half of the book about that, and you know, it at least in context of the scenario that I'm presenting for an attack on Phoenix in December of this year, there were a number of occult markers, symbols that seemed to point directly at Phoenix, and of course the use of the Phoenix symbol itself, and a number of other items that I cover in the book.
Well, they often try to foreshadow what they're doing. It's like a psychopath doesn't really enjoy just hurting you. He likes to know that you're going to hurt him. He's going to hurt you first, and
exactly.
Derive some pleasure off your fear and suffering. We'll be right back after the break at VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spray the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather,
You're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered Ion, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
My name is Sean David Morton, and in 2010, I was called into the offices of the most high-powered law firm in the world on an estate matter of the utmost importance. After signing contracts promising I'd never reveal the identity of the people involved, I inherited the journals of a man that had spent 40 years in and become director of the global shadow government. It was the Holy Grail, with information on the Unified Field Theory, the Roswell Crash, the Philadelphia Experiment, the Sigma Treaty, Nazi Superscience, the Montauk Project, Area 51, the Dulce Mesa Wars, and treaties with extraterrestrial races and the back engineering of their hardware. But mostly, it had to do with the development of technology that would allow us to travel through time and fight a deadly alien threat that was only now on its way here to destroy our world. Read the book that I have risked my life to write. For the first time ever, read the truth about it all. Sands of Time, the runaway bestseller by Sean David Morton, available in signed limited edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
You're listening to the future of talk.
American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard hitting and in your face, America.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back. Yes, thank you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's fabulous. I love American Freedom Radio so much. Namely because New Zealand's got this thing called tall poppy syndrome. You know how you have to kind of somehow get out of that crappy little town you're in or whatever in order to become successful with and meet other people of like mind where currently your physical location restricts access to said people. That's what American Freedom Radio gave me, access to people that I can get along with who are onto it. And I was talking to my friend, he dropped over about 20 minutes before the show today, about how I instantly am starting to get along with these people who are intelligent, talented, hardworking, creative, and good people like that. Like, it just comes naturally. And he said, there's a really important lesson in there, bro. And I go, yeah, I know. Well, there's two important lessons. Number one, I'm intelligent, hardworking, and all of those things as well. So we naturally got some kind of common ground. But secondly, we try to find people that are better than us in some way, who've done something that we haven't done, so that we can live in a way vicariously through their experience and advance the people that we really are and advance our own thoughts. That's what I think is really, really important. I don't know anything. I believe everything I know to be true is probably just wrong. And I just haven't seen the evidence yet of how wrong I am. My very special guests are Kent Bain and my very special guest, Chris Milligan as well. And Chris, I was talking with Kent over the break about 9/11 and kind of how it's hard for people to kind of grasp the concepts that we're going through here without prefacing information. You know, like, to know what 9/11 is actually requires a shocking large amount of work. The research that goes into a book like this, The Most Dangerous Book in the World, for instance, is extraordinary. How do you compile something like this? How much work does it take before you can put it in from what I've read, probably one of the most digestible formats I've seen in a decade about 9/11?
Well, you know, you just take your time. I mean, Kent came to me and he kind of was thinking, well, maybe somebody else could do it better. And I read, so he had done a good workup of it. And I says, no, I think you're the person to write it because, you know, he was the person that went on that journey of research that put it all together. And that's what it is, I mean, that all of us have to take is a bit of a journey from where our understanding, you know, is into where it can be. And, you know, he presented it to me, and I looked at it, and I says, well, you know, I think this is good, and we'll bring it out as spring of 2013 book, which was our next catalog. And then he brought the next part, and I says, well, you know, let's go ahead and push it up and put it out there because I'd rather, you know, put it out there than be sitting around the spring and be saying, oh, my. And so, yeah, it takes a lot of research, and you know, I think Kent did a very good job. I worked with him on it, but it's mainly Kent's work, and the one... Oh, probably one comment I get the most is that it's a totality of the information that is presented. Because if you just pick out one little factoid, you know, it doesn't really mean too much. But when you put it all together, it really supplies a very strong picture and helps you to understand what's been going on. And it's not so much even, you know, the people that are doing this don't even have to believe in it, okay? Because, again, what it is, it's a controlling mechanism. It's a controlling, it's like, you know, a classic thing in secret societies that they'll ask a person to do is okay, spit on a Bible, okay? And they have an answer for you no matter what you do. Okay. But it gets to a point in time where somebody, you know, they're told to spit on the Bible, and they, instead of, you know, spitting on the Bible out of some belief, they spit on the Bible because their father or somebody told them to, because then they get a play with the people over here instead of the people over there. So it goes beyond belief, and again, it's basically about control. And when you look at these groups of people, these secret society, and look at some of these families, when you're a member of a secret society, that is a kind of mind control in itself, a mind quote unquote mind training, mind control. Okay, that puts you in a certain milieu so that you see things in a certain way. And personally, I think that they're nuts, and their secrecy and what they're doing is not good for all of us on mankind. And I think that basically all they have is virtual control. Basically, the biggest control of the media. Now, you know, we have a different media in the United States than you do over there in New Zealand and Australia. You have a PAL system, which has different lines of resolution and a different flicker pattern. In the United States, we've got a 60-second flicker pattern, which, if you read any book about hypnosis, puts you into a trance. And that is part of the...
That's actually a very physical reaction as well. There's a certain amount of frames, I think it's like 25 frames per second or whatever, that appears as a moving picture in normal reality. And if you increase the flicker rate, your brain switches from alpha waves, which are the analytical things that it used to do, mathematics, connect concepts, things like that, and it switched to a beta wave state, which is more the sort of a subconscious, not fully awake, not fully aware, not fully listening, but not fully asleep. And it's very similar to how a hypnotist will go sleep, and your head kind of goes down, and then he starts whispering things to you, suggesting things, and they take root in your mind. It's very similar to that, and it happens within 30 seconds. 30 seconds is all it takes of watching television for that wave switch.
Yes, indeed. So we have been assaulted here. With the psychological warfare, for generations, and we're dealing with lies that were told to our to our grandparents, and it's amazing how the lies stick. Oil is a fossil fuel, and things are very generational in that things are processed through our pop culture, and with every generation, with them especially doing this heavy psychological warfare, where there's not so much talk between generations and whatnot. It's very easy for them to move cultural norms and different things around. And I just want to get back to one thing: is that they're a small group of people. There's way more of us than them. And all we need to do is to put some people in jail, and we can have our country back.
In the Frank Herbert sense of the word, the sleeper must awaken.
Yes.
Get off the couch. Kent, we've probably only got about 40 seconds left in this segment here before we go on to the second hour. Is there anything you want to interject here before we go to break?
Well,
I'll take that as a time.
No, I just I'll quickly say that kind of touching on what Chris started off talking about, this book was a collaboration between the two of us, and he just immediately picked up on where I was going with the book, and encouraged me to write it, and I wouldn't have done that just on my own. And so working with him has been a really positive experience. And Try and Day has published a lot of books in this genre, and was just the perfect organization to turn to get this message out.
Like a co-pilot holding the map, giving you accurate directions so that both of you don't get lost in the process.
Very good.
I've got this idea, ladies and gentlemen, that we work so much better and accomplish so much more when it's two free individuals, or maybe even more, collaborating together than either one of our egos or either one of our brilliance could ever accomplish alone. So it means that when you're working with people, you've got to find somebody who you click with, who you actually, at the end of the conversation or at the end of the day, have actually truly accomplished something that's better than either one of you could have done on your own. That's when you know you've found a true friend and you stay loyal to him. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here. Like the public.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're gazing live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we're looking at the live streams here, and there's heaps of people tuning in. On the, you know, there's like seven countries total, so that's nice. And I particularly wanted to give a shout out to the listener in Brazil, because I was just thinking, man, there's not a lot of South American listeners. It's like, hey, Chico, listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, man. And so forth. Maybe that was a bit racist. Sorry. Anyway, I appreciate it, and I want more South Americans to be listening. Gonna go intercontinental, you know, like a ballistic missile of a show. My very special guests are Kent Bain and Chris Milligan, co-authors and confidants of the most dangerous book in the world, 9/11 as a Mass Ritual. And I wanted to talk about this this concept of a mass ritual and mind control technique. And there was a study that came out in the mainstream media about the psychological effect of 9/11. And seeing something on television that's traumatic and dangerous and horrible actually does have an effect on you, even if you're not there. And the collective trauma of 9/11, of all of us seeing this and the fear and the terrorism and the that kind of stuff, it's kind of imprinted us all with this fear paradigm that we call the post-9/11 world. So if you comprehend what the fear paradigm is actually attempting to push you into, you can then be aware of it and subsequently shed your fear of it, because to my mind, nothing is more frightening than the unknown. And if you are exploring the unknown and the deep, dark mysteries and things of that nature, then suddenly they become more familiar and you stop becoming afraid of it because of a lack of awareness. And that's what we try to do here on the show every day. And I applaud these men for producing this book as well. Guys, welcome back. In the second hour here, I was wondering if you would reveal some maybe personal experiences of the actual research and things that you did during the creation of the book, just to give people maybe a bit of a background of the actual work that goes into it, and what kind of research you've been doing, perhaps of a primary nature.
I in the introduction to the book, I refer to the book as really a collaboration amongst many individuals, and almost none of whom I've actually met or really interacted with, because the there were, as I began to look into this, the occult aspects of 9/11 and the concept of 9/11 as a mass ritual, I was very skeptical. I was trying to really satisfy my own curiosity and dismiss some of the things that I'd just had a brief introduction to. But there were lots of people that had been looking at different pieces of the puzzle, had made some really interesting observations, and as I began to dig deeper and deeper, I found that some of these observations were in fact valid and based on some good insights and some good research, which is not really what I wanted to find. And so that caused me to further my investigation, and the certainly not all of the research that is revealed in the book, incorporated into the book, is original on my part. I kind of like to think of myself more as the aggregator or the storyteller. There were a couple of works that were influential. Very influential in particular in my own thinking, and then in that helped shape the writing of this book. But then there were a lot of things that I picked up from various blog sites, conspiracy bulletin boards, various reading and various subjects. And then once I began to realize that there was something worth looking at, that there was a real story there, then that entailed a lot of background research, because my background is not in the occult or comparative religions or anything of that nature. So I had a lot of homework that I needed to do to become versed in all of the subjects necessary to really make sense of what I was finding and what some of these other researchers that I had a head start on me were pointing out. And so I really wanted to thoroughly understand what they were saying and what appeared to have happened on 9/11. And so, I looked into a whole range of different fields, from astrotheology to black magic to the a whole range of subjects. And I had begun to do some of that type of reading in various fields of that nature, just as I mentioned earlier, trying to understand the 2012 phenomenon. And as it turned out, that whole enterprise, that line of research, then turned out to factor very heavily into the second half of the book, and really where I think 9/11 is pointing, and what has been built on the 9/11 day itself, and moving forward, that it was building towards something, not just it wasn't just an event that was unto itself, and it's been it has certainly been used to a great extent over the last 11 years, but I think it was also pointing towards something and building towards something that may unfortunately culminate at the end of this year. So I don't think I did any wasted research, because there's so many angles and aspects of 9/11 that everything that I looked into really had some sort of bearing as I began to piece together the occult script for 9/11. Just about every angle that I looked at it from, there was a component, as you might expect, with an event this large. If knowing that there was an occult framework, you would expect it to be extensive and very sophisticated, and indeed it is. And there are so what I tried to do with the book was, without going into a tremendous amount of detail on any one subject, it provide enough background so that the average reader that didn't have familiarity with the occult or the supernatural could come in and read a bit about the background of a particular symbol or deity, as the case may be, and then kind of follow right along into how that was integrated into the script for 9/11. So it was a very much a learning process for me, and one that I started from scratch, and kind of came to the 9/11 truth movement late compared to many researchers, and was able to benefit from a lot of good work that had already been done. But hopefully I've been able to package this particular topic in a way that will be beneficial to others, and that perhaps breaks some new ground and provides a new investigative angle that we can look at this event from, and hopefully it will interest people so that they will maybe the somewhat novel idea of 9/11 being a mass occult ritual will capture the public's attention in a way that they will then turn around and take a look at a lot of the solid scientific evidence that exists that most people ignore. And so I don't see this as being, one or the other. Okay, either you believe, for scientific reasons that that 9/11 was a mass conspiracy, or you have to believe it for this reason or that reason. I think there are many reasons to come to the understanding that 9/11 was orchestrated, that the 9/11 Commission's report is absolute fiction, and this is just one more piece of the puzzle, one more damning piece of evidence that we can add to the arsenal so that we can hopefully, those of us that are already immersed in trying to, ourselves have wakened up and we're trying to awaken others, that we can use this to, get underneath the mainstream media and the government's version of events for 9/11, and continue to chip away at that and kind of invade the consciousness of the average citizen with truth.
Well, and you were talking about black magic and white magic, right?
Yeah.
There's also black propaganda and white propaganda, which I think operate under the same principles.
Yeah.
The white meaning the light to shed light on things and use the truth to help people's opinions form and shape. The black propaganda meaning to repeatedly offer lies and manipulation in order to ensure that people can't figure out what's going on. And what I've got in my kind of tool belt here is a wide knowledge and experience with the tactic of propagandists, and I'm conscious of the fact that not only do we need a counterintelligence eye on 9/11, but we also need a counter propagandistic eye on 9/11 and all of these other false flag effects. If anything, analyzing how they brainwash people and what their methodologies are on a psychological / spiritual / occult sense is, in my opinion, almost the most important, because it's how we are taught to think certain things. And you ask anybody, anywhere, anytime, what the real problem is with society is that people don't think, and it's not an accident.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. And yeah, if Chris mentioned earlier that their ultimate objective is control, and that's absolutely right. And how are we most effectively controlled? By the manipulation of our beliefs. And if you look at psychological warfare, mind control practices, how they're constructed, the different components, and then the various levels of our psyche that they attack. And then you think of the general public, the global public, as being a unified psyche, and think of 9/11 as a mass mind control program and designed to subject us to trauma-based mind control for a whole range of purposes. Then that's a good analogy, because then you look back and you look at the occult script and you see all of the dark elements that are woven in, and you begin to understand really what they were trying to do. The practitioners, the orchestrators of the 9/11 mega ritual, they don't necessarily have to be true believers in Satanism or the occult or black magic in order for the techniques that they've utilized to be very effective. Now, I would argue that there are probably quite a number of true believers in the mix there, but we just would have no way of knowing. But the point being that the techniques and the tactics are equally effective regardless of what they believe. The most effective psychological warfare, mind control regimens are those that incorporate occult elements, rituals into the overall program, because they create maximum trauma, therefore maximum susceptibility to the programming objectives of those that are conducting the experiment, not the experiment, but conducting the operation. And so, knowing that that is the case for individuals, that these the dark elements of the mind control program are most effective and produce the most effective results, then you can certainly understand why.
And because it's so dark, people don't want to hear about it, so it keeps continuing to be used effectively
up to this very day. Yeah, you're exactly right. The hopefully one thing that can come out of this book, and it's certainly not unique, but maybe it will gain enough visibility to help people begin to understand the language of these types of events. And 9/11 is the grandest example that we have to look at to date. Of course, as Chris mentioned, the Kennedy assassination is a close second, but there are all sorts of secondary public rituals, or I won't call them mini rituals, because they're fairly sophisticated and large scale and use the mass media themselves. But I deal with a number of those in the second half of the book, even though the second half is sort of predictive fiction. I weave a lot of fact and real world elements and individuals into the script. And then also in that process, look at several events, including the shooting of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords in Tucson in January of 2011, and the theater shooting in Aurora, Colorado, and examine those and dissect those really as mass rituals as well. And of course, of a lesser scale than 9/11, but once you see the and can recognize the format and the language that they use to communicate with each other, through the incorporation of the occult symbols and markers into the event, you really do get a profile that emerges, that where you can look at other events. Now, of course, you can get carried away, and you can see a conspiracy behind every event, and you know, you can assign significance to just about any date that you'd care to. But if you have a genuine understanding of just sort of the history of these types of rituals and operations, you can fairly quickly begin to discern the real patterns, these real public rituals, and then look for them and look for those markers when I guess that's one of the things that I hope a reader would take away from this book, would be the ability to recognize these things on their own in the future, so that we are less susceptible to manipulation through these techniques. Just you know, the most recent example is
let's talk about that Benghazi attack when we come home, because sure. There's so many things around that. Like, apparently the thing wasn't even an embassy, it was a safe house, and they weren't any cops that showed up to the protests and stuff like that. And I've never seen a protest not have cops to show up to it, and sure enough, the protest has got out of control. It's all over some Muslim kind of crap, and the justification is we go back into Iraq. We'll be right back.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-size bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-size bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
What would you do if you or someone that you loved was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcendition process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
I'm down south recently. I'm playing a town. This is absolutely true. It was in all the papers. It was on CNN. Apparently, everyone in this town saw these UFOs. And I'm curious. I asked people what it was like. Oh, man, it was incredible. Incredible. People came from miles around to look at them. A lot of people came armed.
Excuse me?
People are bringing shotguns to UFO sightings. Don't you think there's a point where we're going to drop the weapons? I mean, you know, the mothership comes. Maybe we don't know everything. Not like some intergalactic skeet shoot. Ah, there goes one out. Bringing shotguns to UFO sightings, man. Kind of brings whole new meaning to that phrase, you ain't from around here, are you, boy? So I said to the guy, I go, why do y'all bring shotguns to UFO sightings? He said, well, we don't want to be abducted. I'm thinking, yeah, and leave all this. He said, huh?
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
It's the show that's all about organized crime, criminal cartel cabals, and Gog and Magog and Joe and Boaz and Jagan, and sacrifice by a burning on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Broadcasting all up and down the corrupt eastern seaboard with the ridiculously fascist scumbaggery scumfracks that operate out of Washington, D.C., the death camp of America. And I'm my very special guests, a campaigner, Chris Milligan. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Get this right. You know how there's two responses you can take to this type of information? Oh, it's crazy, and therefore you're crazy. Or, I really hate it, the fact that all this stuff is going on and nobody knows about it. So I'm going to blame all the people who don't know about it for this problem, instead of blaming the people who are actually manipulating them and controlling the education system and the media to prevent them from knowing about it. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard of somebody call people slaves or sheeple or slave scum or something like that? Nobody actually wakes anybody up by doing that, I don't think. You know, I mean, did you wake up to the New World Order complex by somebody rushing up to you and in a hurried and furious spitting voice with a spittle kind of flying on your face, calling you a slave and that you've got a slave job and you're about to be exterminated and all that kind of stuff? And it was like, no, that wasn't how I woke up at all. In fact, it was people empowering me and sharing this new information that allowed me to wake myself up. If you're not aware of a conspiracy in any way, shape, or form, how on earth are you ever going to know how it works or what's truly going on? And conversely, how to live your life? And conversely, how to wake other people up? You don't do it by being angry with them. You do it by loving them and trying to raise them up, kind of like a tide raises all boats. We've all got to evolve intellectually here. We've got to go out and help people based upon the heart. Because my heart tells me that people are dying out there. People are miserable out there. People are having their careers subverted. People are having their creativity suppressed from birth. From frickin' birth. And to go out and blame the whole system on people who have no awareness of it is like blaming a child for how bad their parents are. And it's frickin' disgusting to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, the world's an interesting place. I mean, I've been very lucky in that, you know, my daddy told me some things that I didn't believe and didn't understand. And I got to take my own sweet time and, you know, do some research and look and think about it. And it's a journey that you have to go from what, you know, you were taught in school and taught by the media. And one thing that, you know, I found out is that everybody, you have to go, you know, you have to go down some blind alley. You have to go down, you know, and find out that something's not true, because one of the first things a person does once they are confronted with this literature or milieu, whatever you want to say, is they tend to say, well, if this corruption is true here, then that means all these other corruption conspiracies are true, too, or something like that. And so, and there's many places, I mean, conspiracy, when I first started telling folks about what my dad said, and somebody says, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. This was in the early 70s, and I says, well, what's that? And so I kind of took it on as a discipline to look into it. And you know, there's lots of conspiracy theories out there, and some of them are, you know, I can find you a book that blames it all on the, you know, the Jews, blames it all on the Catholics, blames it all on the secular humanists, blames it all on the hippies, blames it all on the more. Who do you want, you know? And because a lot of them have been created just as part of the whole fracturing thing where, you know, I'm a member of this group, I don't like you, and you don't like me. Because when you look behind the curtains at the secret societal group, I mean, they'll wear whatever robe, whatever mask they've got to. They'll tell whatever lie that they have to get somebody to go from A to B. And so, again, you know, there's way more of us than there are of them. And we can understand who they are, why they're doing it, and what they're doing. Kent brings to the table some of the really, you know, putting together 9/11 and showing it to be a mass ritual. And another reason I really enjoyed it is because he did it with humor, because it's not a, you know, it's not something you really want to read about, you know. I mean, and you know, he presented it in a way with some humor, and, I mean, the most dangerous book in the world. I mean, goodness gracious me, you know, some humor right in the title. Because, you know, there are other people that talk about this. Some of them, you know, are coming at it from a prescription or a position where they're really, you know, yelling at you in different things. And you know, one thing I enjoyed about Kent is, you know, he was basically on a journey trying to understand it, and he found something, and he said, hey, I think I found something. And, you know, and that's what it is. It's a journey of understanding. And, you know, first, you know, you say, well, something's hinky here. And then you finally say, well, there's something really hinky here, and it might affect my kids. And then you sit around and say, well, then what do you do, and other things. So, and one of the things that you do is you try and understand what's going on. Because only by understanding it can we deal with it. Because if we just don't understand it, we're just sitting around, you know, playing with quicksand or, you know, playing with molasses.
Well, there's nothing solid to base your life on if that's the case. And it's like if you build your society or you build your government upon sand, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen to it. And I think it was Howard Zinn, who's a famed civil rights campaigner back during the American Black Civil Rights Movement. And he said, one truth can shatter a thousand lies. And I believe it's a self-evident truth.
Yeah, and you know, and we hope to forestall any event that they're looking to do. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, 9/11 was classic mind control. I mean, you see these planes, you know, melting into these buildings. I mean, we all know that there's a bunch of innocent people dying. That's trauma that puts you into a shock. I mean, they smashed this big archetype. They spent all this time and money, you know, getting our attention to the World Trade Center as this big symbol of might of America. Then they smash it, and then they, you know, we've got the idiot son from Skull and Bones as president, presiding over the whole thing, and then they bring you the country back completely different. They go to, you know, these wars. You've got to, you know, almost strip before you get on an airplane. And then before 9/11, they kept up the pretense that we as a country didn't order assassinations of people. You know, but now we know that the president has in his top drawer, you know, he has a list of people that, you know, we're trying to kill. Some of them even Americans. So, I mean, we've moved from a republic, okay, into empire, okay? And they do this silently without telling us because they want this bondage relationship with us. And it's very interesting. If you look at Skull and Bones, they talk about Hegel, and Hegel talks about this bondage relationship. And they do it silently, and it's like the Kennedy assassination. They killed him on 11/22. And if you look in classical numerology, 11 and 22 are the highest numbers. And one of their main meanings is mastery and supermastery. So if you kill the king, take his power, get away with it, everybody knows you do, and you're silently telling the people that you're the masters, well, then... And we look up there and they say, well, if they're the masters, then, gosh, I guess we're the slaves, right? And that's the dynamics to how it works. And it's insidious.
Well, it's like mass mind control. And I was thinking about the presidential debates, is that there are debates for the masses only. They're not for anybody who actually gives a frack. And I watched the third-party debate. Kept me up until like well past 2 in the morning watching it last night because it was just so. It was like, this is a real American debate about real issues that actually matter.
You know, I mean, the elections haven't been about, hey, let's get a bunch of people together and we'll vote for this. I mean, these elections have been about polarization, you know, and we... You know, and we're very, very polarized, and then again, how do we know? All we know is what the media tells us, and, you know, they've obviously stolen some elections, you know, I mean, and they've done some of them quite blatantly, which, again, is psychological warfare and telling you, well, your vote doesn't really count and blah, 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 so why are you participating? Because, you know, part of their shtick is that, you know, government's bad. You know, well, that's not. We need government to so that we all, you know, can get along and everything. I mean, there's nothing bad with government. You know, government is a thing. It's what people do with it. And it's just that, you know, we're in the hold of a very bunch of corrupt folks who are doing nasty things to us to stay in power and stay in control. And it's
you're echoing the words of almost every single one of the debaters at that thing, and almost every single one of the people who were commenting and reporting on it is echoing what you've just said, right?
Right.
In some cases, you're using the same words, the same language. So we all see the exact same problem, don't we?
Right. But the problem is,
the bigger problem is coming
together.
Was on
with Piers Morgan. You know, he brought up 9/11, and Piers, you know, went to roll his eye. Oh, you can't really be saying that, Jesse. And he held up his hand. He says, well, audience, who thinks Jesse's just being crackpot here? Nobody said a word. And then he said, well, who thinks Jesse's talking some stuff? And everybody said, yeah. So basically all they have is virtual control, you know. They have this television. And, you know, they have their, the popular culture, they've really been trying to influence the popular culture really, really heavy. But, you know, part of the dynamic, I mean, we have the personal computer and the internet. And those are the tools that we're using to fight this corruption. Because personal computer allows, you know, you to do a radio show, me to do make books, people to make videos, and the internet, we can share it all with everybody. And so there's a very interesting dynamic going on because, you know, I was working in the suppressed field before the internet. And let me tell you, it was there was a lot of information that they were keeping suppressed, and it was much easier for them to do. And now all they can do is try and throw a bunch of mud around and get people to, you know, still think that, you don't really like. I mean, the Occupy people and the Tea Party people are both talking about bad people up at the top, right? Aren't they talking about the same people?
Yeah, and they attack each other
right.
for not pointing their finger at the right bad people at the top. And,
right.
and instead of pointing fingers at the bad people at the top anymore, they start pointing fingers at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's classic again. And J.P. Morgan, I mean, he said, you know, in the early 1900s, we're gonna create the right and we're going to create the left. And, you know, they give the right honest things to carry and they give the left honest things to carry. And then those things get debased by them, you know, fighting each other. And then, you know, like Amy Goodman, you know, Democracy Now! And a lot of these websites, you know, won't give us the time of day, won't talk about Bilderberg, won't talk about these things, okay? And if you look at where they get their money, well, golly gee whiz, they get their money from the foundations. You know, you have Chip Berlay, Political Research Associates. He gets $750,000 for a three-man office, and one of the guys is already independently wealthy, and basically he's a spook, and it's his job to keep the left and the right apart, and to anybody in the left that says, oh, gosh, maybe Kennedy was killed by a conspiracy, or there's, you know, maybe there's secret society. Oh, well, you've been duped by the right. You know, and it's criminal what these people do. It is criminal what these people do, and even, you know, farther up. And like I say, all they've got is virtual control. And I think that all we have, you know, they can be put in jail. They'd rather put us in jail, I'm sure. But golly wally, we'll just see what happens, I guess, won't we?
Well, here's the thing. They needed us to build those prisons, and I believe that one day the prisons that they got us to build for ourselves will be used to house them in darkness forever.
Well, you know, I say let's be humane about it, but there, you know, it needs to be done.
Yeah, exactly. And somebody, here's the thing, it needs to be done, and somebody's got to do it, and you can be guaranteed, if you've got the ability to do it, you are that somebody already. So you've got to just connect the dots and start doing it. Let's arrest these criminals. Let's arrest these pieces of trash. Let's get them an appropriate punishment for their crimes in a humane way. Loving it, Garrick. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyasonshow.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. I'll give you an example of that. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. The government doesn't lie. It engages in disinformation. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it.
My name is Sean David Morton, and in 2010, I was called into the offices of the most high-powered law firm in the world on an estate matter of the utmost importance. After signing contracts promising I'd never reveal the identity of the people involved, I inherited the journals of a man that had spent 40 years in and become director of the global shadow government. It was the Holy Grail with information on the Unified Field Theory, the Roswell crash, the Philadelphia Experiment, the Sigma Treaty, Nazi superscience, the Montauk Project, Area 51, the Dulce Mesa Wars, and treaties with extraterrestrial races and the back engineering of their hardware. But mostly, it had to do with the development of technology that would allow us to travel through time and fight a deadly alien threat that was only now on its way here to destroy our world. Read the book that I have risked my life to write. For the first time ever, read The Truth About It All. Sands of Time, the runaway bestseller by Sean David Morton, available in signed limited edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
To fly to New Zealand?
By plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert, give me a dessert, give me a dessert. Oh, your dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. I have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. If you want to know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop. 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know, because by the time I got over the jet lag, I had to go. And it seems to me, if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get there, they should have the common courtesy to speak another language. I did not fly all this way to hear English again.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live in English from New Zealand on American Freedom Radio. It's real strange. So you've got New Zealander being hosted by an American network, talking to a couple of Americans about something that happened in America and relating it to New Zealand issues. Yeah, it's not complicated. Now, my very special guest, we've only got one final segment, and I always get to the end of the 2 hours, and when I've got a big guest or a really good guest or something like that, I'll give them 2 hours. If they're sort of a bit iffy, I'll give them 1 hour. And I find that regardless of whether I give them an hour or two, it's never enough. Because you meet like minds, and you meet kindred spirits and stuff like that, and you want to absorb from them as much as you can. But we only have a short time frame. So, final words. Talking about the importance of 9/11 and this book, the most dangerous book in the world, 9/11 as Mass Ritual. I would like to start with Kent, if you would. What are the most important elements for you personally, and more to the point, when I started researching into all of this stuff, I got depressed and it was very traumatic just learning about it, and I had to get over it. Using comedy. Can you relate to that?
Completely. As we've talked a little bit about, I wrote the book with kind of a humorous eye, and part of that was a coping mechanism on my part, just because of having to deal with such dark material. You know, I wanted something to provide a little bit of levity, not, primarily for the reader, but then also for myself. It was certainly easier to write from a humorous perspective. But then as I think we talked about a little bit earlier, because of the nature of the occult script, the what was done, some of the statements that were made, it's dripping with dark humor. And in many instances, they're just... there's evidence of clear mockery, just outright mockery of not only the general public, but of the victims of 9/11, the sacrifices that were made that day, if you will. They weren't just killing people. They were doing so and then, kind of poking each other in the ribs and laughing about it and making jokes and not in a trivial way either. I mean, they really made serious fun in quite a number of instances that you pick up on, and that's one thing that it can throw us off track in that, this was obviously a very serious event, and the occult elements we have difficulty sort of processing and getting used to the idea of this being a mass ritual, which we would think would be a super serious thing to them, but then you're hit with this layer of absurdity and humor and dark humor and mockery, and you have even more difficulty adjusting to that. And then, so it's we're faced with a situation where we don't know what to make of what we're being confronted with. Is it a satanic Luciferian ritual? Is it a big fat joke? Is it the the largest false flag event in modern history. I mean, what is this? Well, it is many things, and that's one of the reasons that I hope one of the reasons I wrote the book, and what I hope can come out of it, is that it's another tool to pick this apart with, and another angle to look at it from. And 9/11 is very complicated, complex, and it's so this is kind of peeling back the onion one more layer and looking at what's underneath, and it certainly does stink.
And Chris, what about you? I mean, from your perspective of a publisher, what do you really want people to be taking away from this? And again, relating back to first going into this material and being traumatized with it and finding humor about it, has Kent been a way for you personally to evolve and see the funny side and survive, psychologically speaking?
Well, like I said earlier, I was very lucky in that I was first introduced to this kind of secret material 40 years ago or so. And so I've been able to take this journey at a slow pace. And there have been times where, I would say I was more fearful than others. But I've been at it long enough that basically my main motivation is determination to see change. Because if we don't do something now, further generations are going to have a much harder time. Because at least we can look back and see in our own lifetime, freedoms that have gone away. And we can have understanding of life before a lot of the BS has happened. So I'm very hopeful. And so why do I publish? I publish because a book is an act of creation. Okay, I mean there's something that you can hand to somebody else that somebody thought about and put together. And then a book, as being an act of creation, it can take on a life of its own, and hopefully it has a soul. And so, in books, Gutenberg's press got rid of the oligarchy of its day, which if you didn't believe in them, they burned you at the stake, and they were so arrogant that they were going around, saying, "Oh, you want to get to heaven? How much money you got?" And then it brought us our republic by the books that were produced and were passed around and people read and the ideas. And so, there's a reason why they burn books. And so I'm a very big fan of books. And I think that, a book is a place to start. And then it, has websites and different things. And the thing that I'm noticing is that, I don't have access to all the big media and can't tell them about about all of this. But what is going on is that people are responding well. People are reading it, understanding it, want to talk about it, are giving it to their friends. And, it is moving through the underground here rather fast, which is good.
Yeah, and We talked about this over the break, Kent and I, Chris, about how the elite can't actually create a page in a book that has original ideas with it, but they can take those ideas on a page that someone else came up with and distort them and twist them, that kind of thing. We were talking about the Olympics and how the opening ceremonies and closing ceremonies were so magical and creative, and I pointed out that, well, actually, there's no creativity there whatsoever. There's only twisting and distortion. They don't have the ability to create. We do. And I believe the elite are intensely jealous of our capacity to do so.
Well, they do tend to do that with many things, such as with the economic cycle of boom and bust. They'll put some money out there, somebody will have an idea and do something, and then they'll pull the money back, and then they'll get to buy that idea, and whatever that gentleman has built for pennies on the dollar. So it's very, very similar. And I do think that the creativity that the Internet and the personal computer have engendered far surpasses the sophistry of the elite. And that is, you know, one of the dynamics that is going on. And so, again, I'm very hopeful, and I think that, you know, we can take back our country, take back our world, and you know, I mean, there's very few of these blue balls spinning through space with, you know, organic life and on it there. And just think, okay, and this, you know, from a pragmatic standpoint, the secret society has been, you know, in very much entrenched for the, past 150 years, okay? And just think of if the money and the effort that they have spent to subdue and to fracture and to, you know, play games with us people, if that was actually used for the benefits of humankind.
Yeah.
We could have a wonderful world.
Well, it's like they say in V for Vendetta, authors use lies to tell the truth, whereas politicians use lies to cover the truth up. And I want to thank you guys very much for all that you do. And I feel honored to have gotten the opportunity to speak with you at this very moment, as if every day all these great people that I speak to suddenly and deliberately enriches my life and how much I enjoy it by getting to know people who basically have their head screwed on straight and understand that it's 2012. Time to stop fracking around. Gentlemen, thank you very much. The book is The Most Dangerous Book in the World, 9/11 as Mass Ritual. You can get that on from the websites and stuff like that.